We are extremely glad to have you here with us today, to be here with you. It feels weird to give a welcome because we are the church together, just because some of us are helping to present, others of us are sharing online. We're glad to be together with you today. Love seeing these comments about what people forget when they go traveling. You do remember traveling. Some of us may remember it. There are kids in our church that have never in their life lived in a world where traveling was allowed, which is something strange to think about, but we trust and pray that we will be able to get back to it sooner rather than later. We're going to be jumping into Genesis 12, so if you want to turn in your Bibles to that, we will get to that eventually. If you have any questions or comments through the sermon today, you can use the chat space on YouTube. You can text 249-201-9024. I will watch for some of those things as we go and as I'm able. But I would like us to spend some time in prayer before we get into the message today. Let's pray together. Lord God, this has been a tough week, a tough couple of weeks tagged on to the tough year that we have had. God, as I hear reports of ICUs more than filling up and doctors and nurses and medical personnel that are past, so far past points of exhaustion that I can't imagine, God, my heart breaks for them. God, I pray for those who are in those frontline positions, whether it be there, whether it be fielding counseling calls or answering kids' helpline calls from kids who are struggling. God, I just pray for those who are carrying the heaviest weight of the illness that is all over the world. God, I pray for those who are struggling with mental illness and or isolation, that are just feeling the weight personally of the lockdowns and the closures. God, I pray hard for those kids that desperately need social interaction and aren't going to be going back to school. God, I pray for families that haven't seen each other in sometimes over a year. I pray for those who are missing hugs from their grandkids and visits with parents. God, I pray for those who are just so angry because they radically disagree with the shutdown and they believe that this is the worst possible thing that could happen. And I pray for those who believe that it doesn't go far enough and it's come too late. And God, I pray for each one who is struggling with the situation that we are living through. God, I pray for those who are in places of decision-making, whether it be nationally, whether it be provincially, whether it be locally, whether it be police chiefs and police officers who are now faced with decisions about how they're going to respond to things. I pray for all those who are carrying the weight of making impossible decisions in an unprecedented time. God, I pray for business owners who don't know how they're going to survive this next few weeks. God, I pray for each person who is struggling in this moment. God, even as I pray for those, I want to pray for people of color who, again this week, have had deep wounds opened up through more deaths of young black men at the hands of American police officers. And as they carry the weight of generations of predisposed judgment and mistreatment, God, I just ask that you would minister your spirit of peace to them when peace seems completely impossible. And I ask that you would work in ways of justice, true divine Jesus-shaped justice, not the justice that we desperately want sometimes. God, for all the divisions that exist and for the many ways the name of Jesus gets dragged through the mud in the mess, God, we ask for your grace. your forgiveness and your presence. Lord, make me, make us an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let us sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. Where there is sadness, joy. O Divine Master, grant that we may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive, it is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in dying that we are born again to eternal life. Amen. Amen. Today we are jumping into a new sermon series, and I've called this series A Wandering Aramean. That title comes out of Deuteronomy 26:5, where the people of Israel are told to say, you know, a wandering Aramean was our father. Now, it doesn't say in the text who this wandering Aramean was. There's some rabbinical sources that claim it's Jacob. But as I read from one person this week, it said, ultimately, it could be both, but the plain meaning of this text suggests that it's Abraham. Abraham was what we would describe as the original wandering Aramean, called from his home to follow God on a journey. And that's why we ask this travel question, this what about traveling, because we're going to be tracking over the next number of weeks Abraham, or Abram, as we've introduced to him at the beginning, Abram on his journey. Between now and the summer, we're going to be looking at different stories in Abram or Abraham's life. We're going to take breaks for other speakers and special Sundays because things like Mother's Day is coming up. Just a reminder, kids. And Father's Day is coming up. Bigger reminder, kids. But those days are coming up. But on and off, we're going to explore this wandering Aramean whose legacy has shaped so much of world history. Before we get into Genesis 12, there's not a lot of backstory to Genesis 12. We're only 11 previous chapters into the story of the Bible. And so let's walk through it really, really quickly. It begins in Genesis 1 to 3 with creation and then the fall. Humanity says, no, we can do this ourselves. Actually, just to remind you, it's chaos, because out of this chaos, God creates. And then the fall. And then with the fall comes more chaos. It gets to the point where before Noah, we read that everyone did what was right in his own eyes. And so you had this chaos again. And God decides he's going to recreate through Noah and his family. And so he invites Noah. They build this big boat, this big box of a boat. And animals go on, and you have the story of Noah, and it's really a recreation story. And as he comes out of that boat, God speaks the blessing the responsibility that he gave in the beginning to Adam and Eve, and at the beginning of creation, he gives it again to Noah and his family. They are to be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, rule over it. This is a recreation story. And almost immediately, you get another fall. People mess up again. And very quickly, it devolves again into chaos. Until we get to Genesis 10 and 11, where people seem like they're kind of getting together, but they're getting together out of pride and hubris to make themselves as gods again, and they're building this tower, and God confuses the language and basically throws them into chaos. And people spread out in this chaotic broken world from Babel all over the world, and it's chaos and it's broken. And in the shadow of that, we get introduced to this guy named Abram. We actually see his name first at the end of Genesis 11, when his dad takes him and his wife Sarai and grandson Lot, and they go on a trip. They move from Ur, and they head towards the land of Canaan, but then they stop on the way, and they don't quite make it. And then we pick it up in Genesis 12. Before we read this again, I just want to remind us how we listen to these kinds of stories. A few highlights for how we listen to it. We listen to stories with a sense of conviction that Jesus is the full revelation of God. Especially when reading Old Testament stories, it's easy to forget that they only understood God in part. They did not have the full revelation of God. And so when we come into something in these stories that seems like, that doesn't seem to make sense in light of Jesus, our conviction is that Jesus is the full representation of God. And so we've got to wrestle with how can this text be understood in light of Jesus? The second thing is we do it in context, in light of how the story fits with the whole story of Scripture. So there's both the local specific context, like we just walked through heading into Abraham's story, but then there's the whole story of Scripture. And we're going to see what we read today in light of the whole context and story of Scripture. The third thing is that some of us who've grown up in contexts that are really rooted in the Reformation and Protestantism have lost somewhat is we need to read with creativity. We read imagining ourselves in the story. These stories would get told over and over and over again, and people didn't just read it as like past historical things, but they would wrestle with, okay, how do we see ourselves in it? How does this connect with our life? What can we see and learn in this that helps us creatively think about the world that we live in? And then the last thing I want to say, that we read it with a sense of conflict. When I say that, I mean we wrestle with the story and we allow it to wrestle with us in deeply personal ways. These aren't moral lessons to be solved or applied. We don't go through and say, oh, see, this happened, therefore you can do this. Like that's not the primary way we read these stories, because sometimes they're giving really bad lessons that we need to learn from. We allow the story to wrestle with us, and we wrestle with it. They are God stories meant to do their work in us as we listen to them, talk about them, think about them, and meditate on them. When I finish a sermon today and we've wrestled with a passage, that's like the beginning of things, not the end. I'm going to try and walk out with like a point that's helpful, but that's the beginning. That's one way, and it's a wrestling match with the text. So let's read Genesis 12, 1 to 9, and then we'll talk about it. So in the verses previous, we've been introduced to Abram, and then God speaks to him for the first time in Genesis 12, 1. The Lord had said to Abram, "Leave your native country, your relatives, your father's family, and go to the land that I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you and make you famous, and you will be a blessing to others. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who treat you with contempt. All the families on earth will be blessed through you." So Abram departed as the Lord instructed, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he left Haran. He took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, and all his wealth, his livestock, and all the people he had taken into his household at Haran, and headed for the land of Canaan. When they arrived in Canaan, Abram traveled through the land as far as Shechem. There he set up camp beside the Oak of Moreh. At that time, the area was inhabited by Canaanites. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, "I will give this land to your descendants." And Abram built an altar there and dedicated it to the Lord who had appeared to him. After that, Abram traveled south and set up camp in the hill country, with Bethel to the west and Ai to the east. There he built another altar and dedicated it to the Lord, and he worshiped the Lord. Then Abram continued traveling south by stages towards the Negev. Now, very quickly, to summarize the text, is in this passage we have God calling Abram. God introduces himself to Abram and speaks to him and says, interestingly, in this passage where it says the Lord in sort of all caps in your text, in most English texts, that is the personal name of God. That is Yahweh. Yahweh had said to Abram, "Leave your native country, your relatives." God, Yahweh, is speaking to him and inviting him into something. He calls him to follow him. Elements of this call. He calls them onto a journey. He says, "I want you to leave this place and I want you to go to the land I'm going to show you." Now, fascinating that he doesn't say where at the end point is, where the destination is at this point. I'm going to take you to this land that I'm going to show you. And another element of the call is I'm going to make you a great nation. Now, a nation, we tend to think in this nation state world of a nation as a country with borders and actually people can come and go easily from it. But this is like a clan, a family, a large family. I'm going to make you into this great clan. And I'm going to bless you. It offers them a blessing. But then there's also a mission because all the nations on the earth are going to be blessed through you. So you're going to receive in order that you can make a difference and change the world. And all of this is rooted in this relationship with God. I will bless those who bless you, curse those who treat you with contempt. All the families on earth will be blessed through you. He's inviting Abraham into this connection with him that is going to impact him and all those around him. Now remember the context of this. God has created the world out of chaos and then it fell. And then as chaos grew more, he recreated through Noah. And then as chaos grew again, God invites Abraham into what really is rescue plan part two. And it's important to understand because creation care was through people. At the beginning of creation, God said, I want you to make a difference. He entrusted the world to people. With the recreation, he entrusted the world to the people. And this recreation plan is going to be through people. God is working through Abram at this point, and those who are going to come behind him with this call to make a difference for the world. All the families on earth are going to be blessed through you. You're going to make a difference for the whole world. Now, interestingly, is we have nothing on Abram before this. I mean, there's a few verses before where it says his wife is Sarai, his dad was Terah, his nephew is Lot, but we really have nothing about Abram so far. And I think that's important to recognize that this call is not rooted in something special about Abram. God initiates this because God chose him. You know, Noah, it says that he was righteous, and so God chose him. Abram, we don't even get that. We don't even know if he knew who this Yahweh God was. They believed in a whole bunch of gods, and every family had their gods, and every area had their gods. And so we don't have any sense that Abram even knew who Yahweh was before Yahweh introduced himself and called him on this journey. It's all about what God offers. It's about God saying, I want you to be a part of this. I have chosen you to be a part of this. And there are some huge implications for him to choose this. For him to choose this is to say yes to following Yahweh and to leave behind his other gods. These other ones that he has been trusting his life to for so long, he needs to turn away from them and trust in Yahweh. Now, we get the sense here that he was also very wealthy. So these other gods, from their perspective, had been doing him well. They've been serving him well. He had gotten wealthy and rich, although he didn't have a child. I can't help but wonder if maybe that was the driving force between him saying, you know, I'm going to leave those gods behind and choose to follow Yahweh, because he's saying I'm going to be a great nation, and these other gods haven't provided that. I don't know. That's purely speculation. But it was going to require him to leave behind his other gods to follow Yahweh. And then Abram is left with a choice. One that he's going to have to face again and again and again as we read through this journey. And that's simply, is he going to believe? Is he going to believe and trust in this Yahweh, in this God who has called him? Or is he going to trust in other things? Is he going to believe? We're going to explore these elements of the story as we go. But I simply want to talk about this call for a second. This call to a journey that he was going to be a part of a nation. He was actually going to be the father of this nation, this family, this people. That he was going to receive blessing so that he could be a blessing. This entrance into a unique relationship with God. See, this story that Abraham is entered into is not just Abraham's story. As you read through the whole Old Testament, just context, this call, this initiation, this invitation was reissued to his son Isaac, to his son Jacob, who became Israel, and to all of Israel. This was call was to all those who were descendants of Abraham. Which is really fascinating when you get into the New Testament and you read Galatians 3. I'm just going to jump over New Testament, reading this in the context of the whole big story of the Bible now. Galatians 3, starting at verse 6, says this: "In the same way, Abraham believed God, and God counted him as righteous because of his faith. The real children of Abraham, then, are those who put their faith in God. What's more, the scriptures look forward to this time when God would make Gentiles right in his sight because of their faith. God proclaimed this good news to Abraham long ago when he said, 'All nations will be blessed through you.' So all who put their faith in Christ share the same blessing Abraham received because of his faith." This call and blessing and this journey that he's on, this people he's a part of, this mission he's been given, this relationship, it was all pointing ahead to Christ. And what makes someone a part of this is not their nationality, their ethnicity. What makes someone a part of this, according to Galatians 3, is, are they in Christ? Have they believed God? Have they entered into a relationship with Christ? It's the work of Christ that brings someone into this. The call given to Abraham was ultimately an invitation into the work that Christ was going to do through his birth, death, resurrection. Long before Christ was ever born, Abraham didn't see it, didn't know it. But looking back, we can see what God was up to. And ultimately, we are recipients of this same call through Christ. This call to a journey to an unknown place. This call to be a part of a nation, a family, a people who are going to be blessed by God, not for our own benefit, not just so that we can be special in some way, but so that we can make a difference in the world. That is our call. This call to make a difference in this world, blessed to be a blessing. All the nations of the world will be blessed through you. That is a call that's extended to those of us who are in Christ, rooted in this relationship we have because of Jesus. Ultimately, that is the rescue plan. This rescue plan, too, is pointing to Christ, and through Christ pointing to us, saying, you are here to make a difference, not because of something special in us, just like there was nothing special in Abraham, but because God has chosen us. He's chosen you and me to be a part of his rescuing work in the world. To leave behind the other gods that we have followed, those other things that have said, if you just trust this, then life is going to be okay. If you can just get enough retirement plan, if you can just, you know, protect your freedom of worship enough, if you can just get enough vaccines, if you can just get, like, you can go any direction. If you can just get this, then everything's going to be fine. I'm not saying those things aren't parts of the world we live in, aren't part of living life, but they are not where our ultimate trust is. Jesus is the one that we have to follow if we are going to be a part of this. And we're left with a choice, one we need to make again and again. And it's simply, will we believe? Again, I just want to be clear. I'm not saying, will we believe Jesus versus science? Because I don't think that's a healthy, I think that's a completely false dichotomy. Will we believe in Jesus versus democracy? False dichotomy. Jesus is who we trust in, and we live in light of that with all of the other stuff going on around us. Ultimately, it's will we believe that God is rescuing the world through the way of Jesus, which is the way of love? Will we believe that we can walk confidently into an unknown journey because God is with us? So no matter what's going on around us, we can have a sense of rest and peace because God is with us. We believe that we are secure not because we have all the answers, or not because we're perfect, or not because we're so courageous, or not because we're so good, but simply because God has called us and has a relationship with us because of Him, what He offers us. That's the invitation. That's the question. That's what Abraham had to answer. Will you do this? And we're gonna tackle the story over the coming weeks. We're gonna see that it's not because Abraham was perfect. He was far from perfect. It's not because Abraham never faltered in his belief. Abraham wasn't called and things weren't good for him because things went easily for him. Galatians 3:6 says, Abraham believed God, and God counted him as righteous because of his faith. It's almost too simple to have this imperfect, stumbling, faltering, messed up faith. And God says, perfect. That's what I want. That's all I need. That's the faith we're invited into. And as we do that, we get to embrace this journey, this people, this sometimes conflicted, often messy people that we're a part of. We receive the gift of hope and life and love, and we have a chance to be a part of His rescue plan for the world by living with love, living the way of Jesus with those around us. I've been thinking a lot about this week, as I've seen on social media from people who are a part of the church and people who are not, just this frustration and anger and disappointment and criticism and over what's going on in the world, and everyone is just at their wits' end, and I am too. I don't like where things are. I don't like the impact that this has on business owners. Our youth, many of the people involved in our youth programming, you know, they just don't want to be online anymore. Now they're being on school, they aren't going to be connecting as much. And so we're wrestling with how do we keep connections with these students, many of whom aren't a part of church to families. How do we keep I don't like where things are. I want to vent at times. I want to put some stuff online or say stuff here that's just like that is critical and hard, and I have to ask myself, how can I help foster the way of Jesus in the world? Do I believe that His way of living with love is better than the fight? That it's better than trying to push buttons or get a reaction or yell louder than everyone else? And if I do, how do I live that out? Chances are it's not going to be on social media. It's going to be trying to walk this road with my family who's struggling, and with my neighbors that I can drop stuff off to, or, you know, it's going to be in those kinds of places and settings where we can love the best. But how do we foster that in the world? If I'm going to say yes to this call, enter into this life, be a part of this plan, and trust that Jesus is the way, how do I live that out in a world that wants us to be directed in all kinds of other ways? Abraham believed God, and God counted him as righteous because of his faith. Will you, will I believe, will we walk this journey, will we be a part of this plan, and will that be our hope? I'm looking forward to the rest of the series as we wrestle with stuff, because there's not a lot of easy answers in the rest of Abraham's story. Man, he messes things up badly. And if nothing else, we can be encouraged that this one who is the father of nations, who is the one that the rescue plan initiated things through, he really messed things up, and so maybe that's okay that I mess things up too, I think some of us need that grace. But we'll get into that as we continue through this series. I'm going to pray, and then we are going to sing another song together. God, again, I thank you for your love for us. I thank you so much that you have called us and chosen us, not because we are so special and so amazing or so wonderful, but because you are so full of grace. God, I thank you that you are not done with this world. You are rescuing it through Christ, and as we participate in the life of Christ, we participate in that rescue of the world. And if there's one thing that seems clear with all the division and all the conflict and all the tension, it's that this world needs something that it doesn't have right now, or it doesn't have very much of. God, I ask that you would help us to live with that love, to follow that call, to say, yes, we will follow you into this journey. We don't know where it's going, but we're going to walk step by step into it in a way that looks like Jesus. Again, God, thank you for being present with us today and for choosing us. Amen.